Hey beautiful people, you are listening to Limitless Faith Life Growth, the podcast dedicated to growing together in the Lord as young people of our generation. I'm your host Ifeanyi Morenike, and each week we tackle topics which help us navigate this Christian walk and be the best version of ourselves that God has called us to be. Let's get into it, guys. Hello lovely, lovely people. How are you doing? I hope your 2024 has started off on a good foot. And I also pray that the things that you have prayed about and written down on your vision board, prayer petitions, that you're starting to see the manifestation or you're working towards it. God, it's important that we don't just write these things down, but we actually add works to our faith. So guys, in this episode, oh, by the way, I'm recording this 12 a.m. This is 12:19. I'm recording this now so that I have an episode for this week, Thursday, before my roommates get back, because we're just resuming school. I am back in school. And yeah, so today we're discussing something I've never discussed before, family. Okay, I'm sure I've discussed it before, but I've never created any form of topic, episode topic, around family specifically. I've spoken about relationships, but I typically focus on romantic relationships or relationships with friends. But in this case, we're talking about family relationships. And it's very important because the same way we sometimes say, you know, friendship can be a ministry and marriage can be a ministry, and those are very different things, but God can use your family as a ministry. God can use your family units to bless so many lives, to be a testimony, to be a blessing to people, to be a form of evangelism to people. But it requires a united family who loves and respects each other and is built on the foundation of Christ. So that's what we're going to be discussing. And we also have to remember that there really is no perfect family, because there is no such thing as perfect people. A perfect family is comprised of perfect people. So unless you can vouch for every person in your family, including yourself, that's perfect, then there's no such thing as a perfect family. There are families where there's a lot of trauma, there is hurt, there are past scars or past wounds that have not been fully healed, because we choose to ignore them and not address them. And sometimes they just come out at the worst times. So that's what today's episode is about. It's having a healthy family unit. It's about forming good relationships with our parents, with our siblings, learning to forgive, learning to heal from past wounds and moving forward. That's what today's episode is about. So let's get into it, guys. So a while back, and it's literally just now I'm remembering it, somebody asked me to do an episode actually on family. And I was quite sensitive on it. I think they spoke about disagreeing with parents or family drama or something. And I was quite hesitant to talk about it, because if I'm going to give examples, I don't want to have to give personal examples, because everybody's family has family drama, but I don't want to be putting my family business out there. Neither, I just didn't really know what much to say. And it's not as if I have so much to say now, but now is, I guess, the best time to put this episode out. But it just reminded me of the fact that she's not the first person to mention something like that. A lot of people assume that from face value, you see some families, they look so perfect. What you may see on the outside may just be plasters. They're just attempting to bandage the cracks in their family, especially if they're Christians, because Christians always want to put up, they always want to put up a good front that, you know, everything is good. God is good all the time God is good. But within the family, there is strife, there is malice, there is gossip, there is just so many things happening, and you know that that's not okay. Because as I said in the intro, your family can be used to bring souls to the kingdom of God. And it can be hard sometimes as believers when you're in a family of unbelievers. Or let's say a few of you guys are believers and a few of you are unbelievers, and maybe you're trying to introduce Christ to your parents or to your siblings or to whoever else, and it just seems like they're not listening, and it's causing division. For some it doesn't cause division, but some it causes division, especially if you're a really passionate evangelizer or form of if you're a very passionate evangelist, then sometimes your passion can be mistaken for pride, especially from your parents, and they can assume, you know, who do you think you are? Who are you trying to force yourself on? Why are you trying to force this religion on me? Don't you know I'm your father? Don't you know I'm your mother? And of course, we know the word of God says that we're supposed to obey our parents. Ephesians 6:1 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Verse 2, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. 3, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy the long life enjoy long life on earth. Then number four says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Almost everyone listening to this has had some kind of issue, whether large or small, an argument, a quarrel, whatever, altercation with their parents. And one thing I have to say, especially if you're like a teenager, because it seems as if at that stage is when a lot of people bump heads with their parents. Regardless of how you feel or how right or wrong your parents is, remember your parents is a human being. So yes, there'll be times that they are wrong. It is a command from the Lord, New Testament law, by the way, before you just say, hey, it's just Old Testament. From the Lord in the New Testament, that we must honor our father and our mother. And this is the first commandment with the promise. And the promise is that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy longer life on this earth. Now, this can also be interpreted as, if you refuse to honor your father and mother, it will not go well with that person and they will not enjoy a long life on this earth. Because regardless of how you feel sometimes about your parents, they are the vessels God has chosen to bring you to this earth. And for that reason alone, they deserve your honor. I'm not saying that it's easy. I'm not saying that every father and mother may deserve respect or honor based on the actions that they have made or the things that they have said or the way that they have treated you. But for the sake that you're a Bible-believing believer who aims, even if not perfectly, or who aims to walk by the ways of the Word of God, you have to honor, respect your parents. And it says that even with obedience, that we're supposed to obey them in the Lord. So if they say anything contrary to the Word of God, you have the freedom or the right to go to follow the Word of God, which may lead to disobedience to them. But that does not mean you disrespect them. Even in choosing the ways of the Lord, respect is key. I remember there was a time that sometime last year, you know, I just wasn't happy about something that happened with me and my dad. And I remember the whole time, I really wanted to speak out. I really wanted to, you know, say my mind. But I always knew, I always had the back of my mind that this is your father. And everything that he does for you is out of love. Even if he's telling you off or he's correcting you, even if you don't understand, even if you don't totally agree, you know that it's out of love and he will never do something to intentionally damage you or lead you astray. But I wasn't happy with it. But I kept remembering, this is my father. In regardless of any situation, I must honor him. I must respect what he says. Even though, you know, I may be a legal adult, I have to respect what he says. And being an adult, you can also go and have a conversation, a mature conversation with them and say, you know, speak your mind. When I returned to him, because the thing happened in school, when I returned to him, I sat with my dad the same day I returned to him, and we had a discussion, a mature discussion. Because at that time as well, the verse I was reading, I read to myself the verse, honor your father and mother. Then I also read the verse, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Meaning of exasperate is to cause irritation or annoyance or to aggravate. That was the verse I was reading to myself. I even listened. And you know, the funny thing is, when that thing happened, I was trying to pray. I couldn't even focus on my prayer because I was just so distracted. Because something was convicting me that if anyone, you're not handling this well, you need to calm down and remember to respect, to honor your father. This thing is it may not be it may not be making you happy right now. You may not be in agreement with the way he's handling this, but that is still your father. And then I kept reading. But it said, father should not exasperate, or father should not provoke their children to anger. Then I'm valid. No. There is a command for the father, there's a command for the child. Your job is to focus on that for the child, not focus on what they're telling and instructing fathers, but on that for the child. You can't control your parents' responses to things, neither can they control yours. But the word of God can control both, if you are both Bible-believing Christians. And for some people, your parent isn't a Bible-believing Christian, but you are, and therefore you have to obey the word of God, despite their failure to. And God sees that and honors that. Because he says, despite the strife within your household, despite the struggle, despite the adversity you're facing, because of my name, you are still obeying my word over how you feel. And God sees that and honors that. Everybody's going through. The thing with me and my dad is not even a big deal, really. For some people, you can have altercations with your parents, which are very deeply rooted, which can be things that some may say, you know, it's unforgivable. I'm not going to sit here and be like, you know, just forgive. It's so easy to forgive. It may not be so easy to forgive. That doesn't mean you shouldn't. To release that burden from your heart, the hatred or anger that you have against the person that brought you to this earth must be let go for you to heal. The reason you're still so angry and bitter is because you refuse to heal. You refuse to forgive. And that holds people back. You want to move forward onto your future, but you keep looking back. You keep focusing on what has already been done, or instead of moving forward in healing. Some can be abandonment issues. And the problem with things like abandonment is, especially for, let's say, females who their fathers have abandoned them. And I'm saying this out of things that I've seen happen to people. So I'm not just saying this out of, you know, hypothetically. But females that have been abandoned by fathers or fathers have left them, this causes what the world calls daddy issues. And what daddy issues are is these females then believe that men that come into their lives are never there to stay, because the one man that they loved and respected and honored and thought they, you know, when you almost see your parents as mini gods, and then that one person just disappeared with no trace, didn't look back, and you'd be like, why can't a man do that? And so you have trust issues with men. All men are scum. All men are the same. Why? Because you have unhealed wounds, wounds that you didn't treat, that you left alone. Now they're festering, they're infected, they're spreading, and it's stopping you from moving forward in life. That's why healing is so important. For some, instead of you calling men scum, you just cling onto the first man that shows you any form of attention. Because you never had that father figure in your life, the next person who shows you attention or shows an ounce of care, even if deep down what they're showing you isn't love, you cling on. Even if it's toxic, you cling on, because you're like, you've never felt affection from a man before. The first person you're supposed to feel affection from, male-wise, is your father. You didn't have that. And so there's an emptiness that God can fill, but you haven't addressed those wounds. And so they're still affecting your life, and they will hinder your progress in life. Because that unhealed wound, as I said, it will be infected. It will spread. It will fester. You didn't treat it. You didn't take care of it. You didn't address it. You didn't think, okay, maybe I should talk to someone about this. If you have siblings that went through a similar issue with you, have you guys ever spoken about it? Sat down and shared your emotions? Because it's real. We may not talk about, I don't think I've ever heard someone mention daddy issues in a preacher. We may not talk about it in the church, but these things are real, and they're affecting especially young females. And so that's where forgiveness comes in. That's part of the healing process. Forgiving. Forgiving the hurt, whatever your parent did to you that was so painful or so hurtful, it's just like betrayal, and you don't know why. You have to forgive to move on with your life. And you have to remember, your parents are human. I remember when I was much younger, and like 13, and I just remember the way I used to see my parents, and I used to get, then I started growing older, and I'd be like, these people are human, that I should give them the grace to make mistakes sometimes. You know, I even have the great opportunity for my mom to be quite young. She had me quite young, got married young, had me young. And so we did a lot of growing up together. And that's interesting, because sometimes you see the weak spots of your parents. That, you know, sometimes they cry. Sometimes they're not that happy. Sometimes they're confused. And even despite that, they still put on a brave face for you. They still tell you everything's all right. They still make a way for you. You may not see a lot of things that your parents go through for you, or the sacrifices they make, but they make them. And for that, they should be appreciated for it. Show them love for it. Show them that you care, that you see their efforts. And when they're doing all these amazing things, if they make a mistake, show grace. They're human beings. You will one day be a parent and make mistakes. Would you want your parents to judge you, or your children to judge you, for every mistake you make? I learned that a lot when I was growing up. Like, wow, so these people are human beings. Give them grace. The same grace you want your children to show you is the same grace you should show to your parents. Grace that God shows you. You make mistakes all the time, and God still shows you grace. He still makes his grace available to you. Where's yours? Where's your forgiving heart? But you expect God to forgive you. That's one side of things. The other side is, you know, at the beginning I was saying how in order for the family unit to work, to really do what God may want to use your family for, there must be unity, love, and respect. Respect being your family, your parents, your siblings, love, genuine love of God, and unity. Because without these things, that's where you start to see strife within the family, jealousy within your family. And jealousy can be such a dangerous thing. The people that you should uplift and support and aid, you're tearing them down out of jealousy. Jealousy is such a toxic thing. And of course, every family has its issue. I mean, if you even look at Jesus, see the family unit he grew up in, where he's like the illegitimate child. I'm sure his siblings reminded him of the fact that he was an illegitimate child. He didn't have the perfect family upbringing either. That didn't stop him in life. That's another thing You should never allow negative things of your past or your childhood trauma to hinder you from progress in life. Because most likely the people that caused that trauma are going to move on with their lives. And you're still there allowing it to hold you back. Now you may need to talk about it to someone, you may need therapy, you may need healing. But be intentional about moving on with your life and not holding on to childhood trauma that could affect your future relationships, that could make you have trust issues, that could make you have daddy issues. And you know, as a normal family unit, conflicts will arise, but as a believer, regardless of whether the person you are in conflict with is a believer, is your younger sibling, older sibling, father or mother, the word of God says that we should not get involved in useless quarrels. I read 2 Timothy 2:24 says, "And the Lord's servants must not be quarrelsome, but must be kind to everyone, able to teach, not resentful." 25, "Opponents must be gently instructed in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to the knowledge of truth. And that they will," that's 26, "and that they will come to their senses and escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will." As much as you can, don't incite quarrels. Don't spark quarrels in your family. As much as you can, be a peacemaker. You know, for some people, God has called you into a family of non-believers, you as a believer, because he wants to use you to free them. He wants to use you to bring the gospel to them. Now, what Satan can try and do is, you who are supposed to be the person God wants to use, he's going to start causing issues between you and a few people in your family. He's going to make you frustrated. He's going to make you angry. He's going to make them offend you in a way that you won't be able to forgive them. And that link that he wants to make between you and them to bring them salvation has been cut off. And it's very strategic. Satan's very strategic, where he won't do things, but he will encourage you to do things to crash God's plan for your life and your family. So for believers who are in families who many are unbelievers, and you're feeling frustrated and angry, and you know, you're willing to give up, God wants to use you. There is a reason that you, of all people, you may be the youngest, you may not be the most influential, but you found the Lord, because he wants you to take that light and be a light unto the nation, so that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. They will see how you handle quarrels. They will see how you handle issues. They will see your maturity, your wisdom. They will see your honor. They will see your respect, the way you show love, the way you encourage unity within your household, the way you are disciplined. So many things. It may not be through your evangelism that they come to Christ. It may be through your countenance, your behavior, how you handle quarrels, your patience, your love, the attributes of the fruit of the Spirit that are manifesting through your life. Character evangelism is a huge part of evangelism. It speaks more than words, because at the end of the day, words, people can lie. But your character, people see you through your character. And will know whether you're a true Christian through your character. If your life worships God, beyond the singing that they hear you do, or the praying that they hear you do in the midnight that they keep complaining about, does your life worship God? One of my friends was talking today, and she was saying how people keep telling her that, you know, one of the reasons that I really just enjoy being friends with you is I love the way you love God. It's just so consuming. Like, one thing that attracted me to know this, your God better, or know about Christianity better, was just the way you spoke about God. And it wasn't as if you were evangelizing to me or speaking to me to, you know, make me Christian, but you were just talking about your experiences with God. And through that, I just became so curious and I desired something like that. There are some people in your family who desire something like that, but they don't know how to get it. And it's not by screaming and shouting and forcing God on them that they'll get it. It could be through your lifestyle. It could be about how you express your love for God, how you live your life on a daily basis. But don't give up. You were chosen for a reason, and God knew that you were capable to carry out this task to help your family. So don't give up. And honestly, remember what it takes to be God's disciple. You may try, but at the end of the day, your number one goal is to live for God, not try and please your family. Luke 14:26 says, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple." When he says hate your father and mother, is, are you willing to leave everything, drop their recognition, to drop their approval of you to follow me? Because for some people, that's the case. Especially for, you hear that people from Muslim families. I mean, it's one thing when you're in a family of Christians who aren't serious. Then you have a family of people from a different religion completely, and you say, you know, I want to follow Christ. Are you ready to let go of them to follow Christ? Again, you're still supposed to respect and honor them, but you have to respectfully follow Christ. You have to choose Christ, and that might be hard. And I'm not saying that it's easy because, you know, I'm not in that situation. So anyone hearing this and thinking, you know, you're just saying as if it's so easy. I'm not doing the experience, but I do know that God will now never allow you to be stranded. Never. For the fact that you left your father and mother to follow him, God sees that. He honors that. And it's that that shows him that you are ready for anything that he gives you, any task he gives you. You're ready to follow him fully and completely. So we went quite around with this topic of family, because family is a very broad topic, really. But I still hope that this episode has been beneficial to you guys. You've learned a thing or two. And I'll be with you guys next week for the next episode. Guys, leave a review, leave a rating, and share with your friends. Have an amazing day, have an amazing week, have an amazing month, have an amazing year, have an amazing 2024. Bye, guys.